All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and it is Thursday night. We're going to begin with an email from a listener. On the website, we have done everything we can to make it convenient for you to be in touch with us. And all you have to do is click contact. And then if you're making a page opens, it's got some subject selections. For instance, if you're making a comment about the show in general, or a general comment about anything, or a comment about a specific show, well, you click on listener comment. And if you're sending me a link that you want me to see, you're suggesting that I look at this link, right? So you click suggestion. Now, you know, some people don't like to do that. Just click anything and then just send the email. I'll eventually see it. However, our system sorts things. And if you send me a comment and it's got a link in it, it goes to the bottom of the list automatically. It gets at the bottom of the pile. And I read real comments first. Okay, so eventually I'll get to it. You want me to see it quick? You use suggestion because it's a link you're suggesting I take a look at, and then it goes to the top of the suggestion pile. And I read those several times each day. I reply to as many as I can get to within the time that I have available, but I can't reply to all of them. But I do read them all. And this one is from a listener by the name of Larry in Oregon. And it's pretty simple. He says, why did you cancel Ed Grimsley two nights in a row? I didn't. Ed Grimsley was originally supposed to be my guest last night, but encountered some technical problems with his computer. Now, we interview the guests via computer. In other words, they have to have Skype. Okay? And so he had some technical issues with Skype, and so I rescheduled him for tonight. Those who were watching the show last night saw that I put up a notice that Ed would be with us tonight. And if you were watching the website today, very briefly, we put up the notice that the picture and everything that Ed Grimsley was going to be with us tonight, just like we did yesterday. And then we changed it again, just like we did yesterday. And the reason is that Ed called me and told me that he was not able to get his computer fixed. He couldn't get the situation fixed, and he was going to have somebody help him with it, somebody work on it. So we will be rescheduling Ed Grimsley. He's a friend of mine, and this is not a slight against Ed. This is just a technical issue with his computer. And as soon as he's able, we're going to have him right here on the show again. All right, Larry, thank you for the email. Now let's do a couple of updates real quick on some people that are important to us here at the Kevin Smith Show. And the first one that I want to update you about is John Vasquez. This is not really recent information. It's just the latest information that I've got. John Vasquez, as you know, is the man who for years and years and years and years has been investigating and pushing the investigation of an event that he says happened to him and a whole bunch of other soldiers at Fort Benning back in 1977. And he wrote a book about it. I think it's called UFO Incident at, or UFO Battle, UFO Incident, something like that, at Fort Benning. He has been very public with his findings and with his desire to find other people who would speak up about it. You may remember a couple of years back, there was one fellow who stepped forward and said, yep, it happened. And his name was Command Sergeant Major James Norton. And he said, it happened. I was there. John is correct. People were injured. He said that John was injured and he himself was injured, and that it was a battle between some UFOs and the U.S. Army. And as fantastic as that may sound, these guys were quite serious about it. And you may remember I did, I think, 3 shows with Command Sergeant Major Norton. And then he died suddenly and under very mysterious circumstances. John Vasquez, a couple of months ago, I think it was on this show just to give us an update, and talked about having been in contact with somebody in Army intelligence. I don't know who. And that he had been in contact with this person, and that this person was confirming some things, but not confirming some things. In other words, it was yeah, but maybe no, you know, that sort of thing. And John kind of felt like he was being set up, that, you know, they were perhaps trying to set him up to go out publicly and say that they confirmed it. And then there are a couple of things they could do at that point. They could say, we obviously did not confirm it. And they could deny, you know. And then they also, since he's a veteran, could simply say, we think the guy has some mental problems, and so we're going to have him picked up, and we're going to get him some help, you know. They could do that because he's a veteran and a part of the Veterans Administration medical system. And so they can do that. And so he was a little bit concerned about that, and he talked about that briefly. Then about, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, he suddenly dropped out. John, I was accustomed to John calling me, you know, once or twice a week, and we would talk. And he quit calling. I didn't know what happened, and the next thing I heard was that he had had a pretty massive stroke, and that he was in the hospital, and he was not responsive. And the last that I have heard, I told you I would keep you updated, and so the last that I have heard is that he was moved to a nursing home and is still not responsive. And very, very sad. John was a good guy, is a good guy, and, you know, I looked forward to hearing from him, and I know some of you looked forward to when he was on the radio with me here. But John is, last that I have heard, in a nursing home and not responsive. So, you know, our best prayers, thoughts, wishes, energies, all of that for John. Another person, two people very closely associated with the Kevin Smith Show, and who are very important to you, Jerry and Kathy Wills. And they are on expedition in Peru. As you know, Jerry is the executive producer at Expeditions TV. And they take some pretty wild and woolly expeditions into some very remote places. And they come up with information that we would not get otherwise, and they videotape what they're doing, and they bring that back to us. And wow, Expeditions TV is fabulous, absolutely fabulous. And you know, if you're not a member over there, you need to go over there and join Expeditions TV. This is an update. They are on expedition in Peru right now. And the last update I've had is the one I shared with you on air a week ago. And so I have not had an update from them. They are alive and kicking, though, because, you know, if you have Skype, your Skype friends, whenever they go online on Skype, it shows up you get a little notice that they're online. And I have seen Jerry and Kathy online every day. I saw that they were online today. I tried to get through to them, but it did not happen. It didn't. We weren't able to connect. But they are alive and well and using Skype. And so perhaps we'll get an update from them and hear from them in the next day or two. I certainly hope so. And, you know, the update that he gave us was pretty fantastic, really, because, you know, he said they were able to get to the destination that they really wanted to get to, and they did get some great video and some great still shots as well. So they'll be bringing all that back to us, and we'll they'll share that with us when they get back here. So it's been pretty exciting. I know some other things about that expedition that I am not at liberty to tell you about. We'll wait and let Jerry tell you. But it's pretty cool stuff. All right, now I want to move to Mars. I'm going to throw this on the table, and then we'll open up the telephone lines, and we'll get to we'll open it up for Bring Your Own Topic. And for those of you who are new, Bring Your Own Topic night is exactly what it sounds like. It means when we open up the phone lines, we can talk about the stuff that I present to you here in the next few minutes, or we can talk about any other topic that you would wish to talk about in the world of the strange and unexplained. All right? So, you know, I'm going to be showing you something on Mars tonight and talking about it. But when I open the phone lines, if you want to talk about ghosts, let's talk about ghosts. You want to talk about Bigfoot, let's talk about Bigfoot. You want to talk about some haunted place, we'll talk about it. UFOs, extraterrestrials, alien abduction, alien-human hybridization, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's Bring Your Own Topic night. But the topic I brought to get us started is Mars. Now, I showed a picture and talked about it some little bit ago, and I think, I'm not sure, but I think this was on a free-to-watch night. So I think everybody probably saw it, and it's a picture that shows what a lot of people said, you know, that looks like some sort of skeletal remains, and if you, I'll show the whole picture in just a moment. Well, I'll just show it now, and we'll talk about it. It's long. It looks like the vertebrae, and perhaps maybe some ribs of something on Mars. Yes, on Mars. I know that sounds just unbelievable, but it is there, and the question is, what is it? Now, I'll tell you something. For those of you who are not watching, this picture is on my website. If you just go over to kevinsmithshow.com, scroll down till you see the picture about tonight's show. When you see the picture about tonight's show, you are looking at the picture that we're talking about. It looks like some kind of skeletal remains. And, you know, it's very, very long, and so if this is vertebrae, it's very long, and that would indicate that we are looking at a tubular animal. And by tubular, I'm talking about like an alligator. I'm not saying that's an alligator, but I'm saying tubular like that, like a long tube with legs. On the other hand, we don't know. This might be the neck vertebrae of some really huge creature, and the rest of it may all be under the sand there. And this just may be the neck vertebrae. You know, whatever, it's very, very long and pretty bizarre, pretty interesting. All right, now, the reason that I've been holding this, you know, what happens is I prepare shows that never make it to the air. And but I prepare, you know, one or two extra shows each week in case we have something happen like what happened tonight where Ed Grimsley was not able to be with us. well, I still have to go on the air, and it still has to be something worth us thinking about and talking about. So I prepare a few extra shows, a couple of extra shows each week, and sometimes they will eventually make it to the air, sometimes they never make it to the air. So back when I first had us look at this, and we talked about it, after that show, my mind had some questions, you know, where I said, you know, now wait a minute. I need to investigate this a little bit more. I need to take a little bit more time with this. Because, you know, I said, nah, I don't know. I can't really tell. It might be some type of vertebrae. But it might be rocks. Well, you know, everything in the world is a might be, right? Everything in the universe is a could be. But then it also is what it is. So, you know, if we don't know what it is, we say, well, it could be this, it could be that. But regardless of what we say it could be, it is whatever it is. And so we try to find out, what is it? And so I went back and I took a little bit more time and I tried to, you know, give this the attention that it really, really deserves. And I want to show the results of that and talk about it. So first, we have the picture with the vertebrae. We'll call it that. We'll say it's vertebrae. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. We'll see. But then what we have is we have... I've got two pictures down at the bottom of the screen, and those are on Earth. Those are giant vertebrae found on Earth. And let me just zoom in on one of those. And, I mean, these are real vertebrae. They are fossilized. They are giant fossil vertebrae. And... when you compare it to the one that NASA has provided, you know, there's some similarities, actually. But let me do something. Let me strip the red out of the NASA picture. I momentarily had done that. When I do this, when I strip the red out of the NASA picture, this structure stands out. By structure, I mean the vertebrae. It really, really stands out. And I have some comments about it standing out when we come back from this next break. But we are going to step away right now. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Well, we're talking about these pictures from Mars. And, you know, I failed to tell you the source of this picture. It is NASA. This is a Mars Curiosity picture, you know, the rover that's up there. We have two rovers operational up there right now. Opportunity is still going, and then we have the Curiosity rover. And the Curiosity rover took this picture on Sol 107. And I said there were some things about the red color that I wanted to point out. Now, for those who are watching, if you'll look, and look, those who are not watching, take a look at the picture on my website. Look very, very carefully at that picture. This is what caught my attention. The picture at the top there, the picture of the vertebrae laying on Mars. For shortcut, I'll call it the vertebrae on Mars. Now, I want you to look at the red sand all around, and then look at that vertebrae. There is just a hint of greenish tint in that vertebrae. Just a hint. It's not quite the same red as everything else. And so I wondered, are we looking at a red filter, a red haze that has been applied over the top of this? And if I strip it out, will we see a different color there on the vertebrae if I strip the red haze out? Now, if you try to strip red haze out, and there's no red haze there, if it's really that color, you can't strip it out. You can digitally change the color, but you can't strip out what hasn't been added. Okay? So I ran it through my process and stripped it out. And sure enough, it's green. Whatever that thing is green. Now, I'm going to go back and let you see. You can see the greenishness behind the red in the picture that NASA released. You can see a greenish tint behind the red in the NASA picture. So that was the thing that set bells ringing, and I said, well, let's just take a look. So I did take a look. I stripped out the red filter, and when I stripped it out, that vertebrae was not red, not at all. That vertebrae was green. All right, now let's take a close-up look at the vertebrae. And in the close-up, when I zoom in, you can see the greenishness behind the red a little better. But this is kind of blurry, and you can't really tell, you know, what are you looking at here. So let's strip the red out. Now, when we strip the red out, we can see pretty clearly that looks like vertebrae. And, I mean, it really does. Let me put it this way. If these are rock formations, then why are they not the same color as all the rocks around them? If this is just some kind of weird geological outcropping, why is it absolutely different from everything else around it? Now, it isn't when you look at the NASA-supplied red-hazed photograph. It sort of kind of blends in, but, you know, if you're used to looking at a lot of pictures all the time, one of the things that you'll notice right away in this picture is the difference in the shading of that red. This has a green tint to it behind the red. And I did notice that. But in this picture supplied by NASA, most people would look at this and say, well, this is just some rough rocks sticking up there. But when you strip that red out, you can see it's not just some rough rocks sticking up. That's something entirely different from all those rocks around it. And as a matter of fact, you know, to me, it looks like that this animal, if this is vertebrae, and I believe it to be, I think it is vertebrae, it looks like this animal died on its back. And what it looks to me like what we're seeing is, you know, the vertebrae are down on the ground and rib structure sticking up into the air. That's what it looks like to me. Now, whenever we talk about this sort of thing, you know, I know because I've been doing this a long time and I get the same kind of responses each time. I always have a few people that email me. And they take that long look down their nose, and not many. Almost all the email is like really positive, but I always get a few where they take this long look down their nose, and they will usually say something like, "You know, you really surprise me because." You seem to be so logical and rational, and you seem to be such, you know, an intelligent guy. How could you think that this is vertebrae on Mars, where we know there is no life, and we know that there never has been life? It's not possible. Well, I'm glad they're long on nose to look down because they're short on gray cells. You don't know you do not know that Mars has never had thriving life on it. You don't know that. You do know that there are scientists who say that, but they don't know either. And that's very important for you to realize. They say it as though it's like, you know, the gospel dropped down to them from heaven. But they don't know. It is their opinion. And it's an opinion based more on emotion and belief than on data. Now, the Mars Curiosity rover is up there collecting data. This picture is some of that data. And, you know, if the data says, in any form of science, if the data says that what you already think is true isn't, the data is correct and what you think is wrong. Let me say that again. When data declares that what you think is true isn't true, it's the data that is correct, and it's what you think that is wrong. And so you have to adjust what you think. This is one of the reasons I have said, not only on many shows, but I've said it to world-renowned physicists on this show, that there really are no such things as laws of physics. There are not. At least if there are, we don't know them. Because what we call laws of physics are really nothing but descriptions of our observations. And, well, it's descriptions of our understanding of our observations. All right, so the observations were made by us, guaranteed they're flawed somewhere. Guaranteed, because we're not God. And then our understanding of those observations, well, that's guaranteed to be flawed somewhere. I mean, we don't know where the flaws are. We'd fix them. But it's guaranteed they are flawed somewhere. And because these laws of physics, so-called, are really just descriptions of our understanding, our current understanding of our observations, they are subject to change, and they do change. So they're not actually laws of physics, are they? Because when new data comes along, we have to change what we think. Sometimes it simply modifies and improves what we think. Sometimes it radically changes it. And so it's very important for us to keep that in mind. So now we have this data coming back from Mars, from the Curiosity rover. This picture is data. It may not fit with what we think about Mars. It may not fit with what you've always been told about Mars. But then, which one is correct? Here's a picture of something laying right out there on the surface of Mars. It's there. There it is, and it is whatever it is. Now, that may not fit with what you've been told. It does not fit with what you've been told about Mars. Which one is correct? Well, the data is correct. Now, I'm making observations here, you see. We have the data, and I am making observations about it. And I am saying that my observations, as I look at this, my observation was first that the color behind the red was different. In other words, I could see color through the red that was not red. I could see color that was not red through the red. That was an observation. So I checked it. And when I checked it, I discovered that was correct. There is a greenish color back there. Pretty green, actually. And when I zoomed in on it, it did not look like any of the stones around it, either in color or in form. But it does look like something I have seen. I have seen vertebrae of animals. I have seen vertebrae of animals. I have seen fossilized vertebrae in museums. And so this looks like the vertebrae of a rather sizable animal. It looks like the spine of a rather sizable animal. That does not fit with what I've been told about Mars. But like I said, the data is the data. But those are my observations. My interpretation of that is, my understanding of it, is that this is the fossilized, these are the fossilized remains of some long animal that died on Mars. Meaning then that there has been complex life on Mars, not just microbial life, but complex life on Mars. That's the way that I understand what I'm looking at. That's my understanding of those observations. Is it possible that I am wrong? Yeah. It is not possible that I am wrong about the red haze. Because I, for those who are watching, I just showed that to you. But is it possible that I am wrong in saying that that looks like vertebrae, or it looks like a spine, and of a large animal, and that I think, therefore, there has been complex life on Mars? Is it possible that I'm wrong about that? Well, it is. Because I'm observing and I am fallible. I am interpreting those observations and I am fallible. But do I think I'm wrong? You know, sometimes, well, I'll tell you about that when we come back. We have to take a break. And when we get back from this break, I will pick up right there. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And for those of you who are just now tuning in, we are discussing the picture that you see on my website about tonight's show. And we're talking about whether or not that is the remains of some large animal actually laying right out there on the surface on Mars. But sometimes, you know, if you're new to this show, you're used to a host, you know, on other shows, you're used to a host taking a position and proving that point, and he's the truth against all others. Not going to happen here. Okay, I mean, I have opinions, and I state those sometimes, as I have about this. But, you know, I have more respect for your intellect than that. See, I'm not the only one with gray cells. Not only am I not God, I'm not the only one with gray cells that are active. I'm not the only one who can think. And I have a great deal of confidence in your ability to think. So I present what I observe and my comments about it, and then you will observe other things. It happens all the time. People see things in pictures that I did not see. They point it out, and I sometimes I'm just blown away. I will say something like, "Holy crud, I didn't see that. Yeah, now I see it." And they point it out, you know, and or they'll have an interpretation of what they're looking at that's different from mine. I'm not the only one with gray cells, so I don't insult your intellect. I do insult people who won't use their intellect. I do that. I admit that. I call them mushrooms. But if you're using your intellect, you're thinking about it, you're considering, and you're letting your gray cells go to work on it, well, you're not a mushroom. And so, you know, if you're new to this show, you're used to all those other shows where you have, you know, Don Quixote, Crusader for Truth. We don't do that here. But I get comments then sometimes saying, well, you know, Smith is, he'll have anything on his show, and he doesn't care anything about the truth. Well, I care about I care about the truth deeply, which is why I won't lie to you and tell you I am the fountain of all truth. I care about the truth deeply, and I know we will arrive at it together. So that's how we work here. Now, I want to show you something else, and I will tell you, quite frankly, I do not know what this is. I don't even have a guess as to what it is. But it was taken by the Curiosity on the same day in the same area. And it hasn't gotten a whole lot of press. But we can see an area where there is some yellow showing through the red, and it's showing through pretty prominently, so it must be pretty yellow. And so I decided I would strip the red haze away, and sure enough, there it is. Whatever it is very yellow, but there's also some of that greenish stuff in it. Now, I don't know, I can't tell if this is like another shot from a different angle, but another shot of the vertebrae. It could be that the Curiosity went around on the other side and took another picture, from a different angle, and maybe this is what it looks like. I don't know. But whatever it is, it's very yellow and green, and I would say NASA didn't want you really to notice that. I mean, if you consider what they did to the picture, they didn't really want you to notice the difference in the color. But they didn't do as good a job with it as they did on the first picture, the one that's on my website. They didn't do as good a job of obscuring the color as they did with that one. But it is the same area. It is the same day on Mars. And so it very well could be the exact same object on Mars, the same, we'll say, vertebrae. But if you take a look at the picture that we started with, the one that's on my website, and if you just roam around that picture, you will see what looks like other bones of other types laying around, scattered around out there around this vertebrae. I want to say again, and this is important because I know we have new listeners every night. You need to understand that I am not the Don Quixote crusader for the truth. I am, the truth is the princess in the tower, and I'm going to save her. That's not it. That's not what we are after, the truth. But you see, I've seen a whole lot of those crusaders go crusading for their version of the truth, and it turned out to be dead wrong. You've seen it too. And because of that, they lose any credibility they had, in my opinion. It doesn't seem to faze them. They just grab another one and, off they go charging again. But, there are some things that I say and say pretty upfront. But most things I talk about it just like I have this tonight. One of the things, though, if you're new to this show, one of the things that I say is that the conditions on Mars are not, N-O-T, not like what we've been told. Now, I'm not saying that the conditions on Mars are Earth-like. I'm not saying that. I am saying they are much more Earth-like than what we have been told. And I think the evidence shows that, and I present a lot of that evidence on this show. But I also think the evidence shows that there was a time when Mars was very Earth-like. It's not now, but there was a time when it was very Earth-like, and during that period of time, I think it's entirely possible that you had large, complex life. By complex, simple life would be microbial. It would be microbes. It would be bacteria. It would be stuff that you can't see with the naked eye. Complex life would be something that has developed beyond just the, you know, cellular stage. Something that has legs, you know, something that crawls, something that moves, or even plant life, something more complex and organized zoologically, biologically. And so that's what I'm talking about, and I think there was a time when that was the case on Mars. And then because of that, to be intellectually honest, I have to admit, this photograph, in my opinion, supports that idea. That may not be, I could be totally, completely wrong about this. This could be Chinese wedding candles. Or it could be, you know, the Maryland National Guard that got lost while they were on maneuvers, and they'll find their way home eventually. But, I mean, it could be anything. It could be. But I'll tell you what it is, for sure. It is laying out there on Mars. It is laying out there on Mars. We're going to, we have to step away for a break here in just a moment, and when we come back from that break, we're going to open up the telephone lines. The lines are already lighting up, and so we'll just ask everybody to hang on, and because we'll get to your calls on the other side of the break. But here's the deal. Whatever that is, it really is. It really is out there on Mars. And then it's up to us to look at it and you know, to make some determination about what we think it might be. And I think it is evidence of complex life. Past. Now, I've called this the fossil record, but you know, that might not really be fossils. That could be far more current. Maybe that's just been out there for a few years. Maybe there's some complex life still left on Mars. Now you think I'm totally nuts, right? Well, we have seen a picture of a rodent taken by the Mars Curiosity rover, and that was pretty in-your-face, plain to see. And, you know, it looked like it was alive, although it's not a moving picture. All right. Call your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. This is John from Conroe.
Hello, John.
I just wanted to make a comment on the fossil picture.
Okay.
Okay. Those projections that we see, there are two that are relatively close together, and then a third one that projects up to the right, at least in this display. From a mathematical perspective, I think if you look at the spacing, the one on the far right versus the one on the far left, the one that is in between that is one quarter the distance, and it looks like there might be something missing in between 3 and 4 if we number the one on the left is 1, 2, and then missing, and then 4. But it looks like it's a quarter of the distance.
Uh-huh.
I just wanted to say that if this is some kind of aerial erosional feature, I mean, I say aerial, you know, aeolian,
mm-hmm.
dust-blown erosion, that would be pretty highly unlikely to have such symmetry.
Uh-huh.
No, that's all I wanted to say. No big deal.
All right, let me pull back out. And actually, I'll tell you what I'm going to do here. I'm going to zoom in on a different area of this picture. And I'm going to ask you your opinion about something. Let's see. Hang on. I have to do this kind of manually here when I do a Zoom. Well, here we go. Now it's going the right direction. I'm glad you can't see this. It's kind of like making sausage. All right. Now we're getting there. Here we go. What I'm going to do is zoom in on the right side. You know, we looked at that rib section.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Now, look at the right side of that rib section, and you see it's very different. Does that look to you to be erosional, or does that fit with what you were describing about the other part as well?
That doesn't look like it something that would be scoured by, you know, sand in the wind.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it just doesn't look like that.
Yeah, this also has left side, right side symmetry.
Right.
And so, all right, so one more thing here now before you go. All right, I talked about how, you know, that first picture, I could see a greenish tint behind that red. And then, and maybe some people may see it, some people may not. I just see that there's a little bit of a tint behind that red that isn't red. And then when I looked at the other picture, also taken in the same area, I see yellow. And what do you think? Do you think that what we're looking at with this, the one that has the yellow tint, is that the same stuff, the same vertebrae stuff that we were looking at, but from a different angle, or is this something entirely different?
No, it looks entirely different.
I think so. What do you think that is?
Well, you know, the colors, when you start playing with the color filters, you can really fool yourself.
Well,
I don't know what the real colors are.
Well, here's the deal. All I did, you can see, this is the picture from NASA, and you can see it's yellow in their picture. Okay?
No, right.
Nobody has colored that unless NASA did it. That's theirs. Now, all I do is strip out the red. And when I strip out the red, then we no longer have an overlay of red on the yellow, and we just see the yellow. And some of it's kind of green. So I didn't do anything here except strip out their overlay of red haze.
Well, it would be nice to have some Geiger readings of that. I mean, it could be, you know, some uranium mineral.
Is your,
from what I've seen.
So uranium it would be yellow like this, huh?
Oh, it could be.
It could be.
You know, depends on the atmospheric conditions.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It could be sulfur, too, for that matter, or some kind of... But I think there's too much water in the system, and sulfur at the surface would get dissolved.
You think there's a lot of water in the system there?
I think that there is.
What makes you think that?
All you have to do is look at the erosional remnants on almost every picture that you looked at from some of the craters on Mars, and you can see what look to be like tributaries.
Yeah.
And they're not ancient.
No.
No. So I think that there's enough, you know, available water in the system that you probably wouldn't be looking at sulfur at the surface.
Okay. Well, in support of what you just said about there being a lot of water in the system,
it's still much less than ours, but
overall,
it's not bone dry.
No, it's not. And have you ever seen the pictures of rover tracks that are obviously muddy?
I don't recall those.
Well, the Spirit rover was the first one that I saw. And it was so obviously a track through mud that the press asked about it, and Stephen Squires said, yeah, that's got a little more plasticity than we would have expected, and we're not really sure about all that, but we'll check into it, and we'll get back to you on that. And that's the last anybody heard of it.
Well, I thought I saw ice crystals in some of the pictures, previous pictures,
yeah.
You know, that different landers had made.
Yeah, well, they've got pictures of the rovers, various rovers, leaving tracks in mud, and it's peeled up just like mud, and like sticky mud, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And then there's not only that, you know, they have the Phoenix lander up at the North Pole, and they have pictures of water condensing on one of the legs of the lander and trickling down. And they took that in series. And if you take that series of pictures and put them together and run them in sequence, you get animation. You can watch the water form and trickle. So
yeah, I think I've seen that one.
Yeah, there's a whole lot more water than what they say, which means, by the way, there's a whole lot more atmosphere than what they say.
Yeah, I don't think it's that big a mystery. They're just hiding it from us.
Yeah, yeah. Well, hey, man, I appreciate the call.
Have a good evening. Thank you.
You bet.
Bye.
All right, that's John from Conroe. And from previous conversations, I know that he is a geophysicist. So that's pretty cool to hear from him that this does not appear to be something that would be a natural geological formation as a result of wind erosion. All right, to the telephone, and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Steve from Georgia.
Hi, Steve.
Allow me to help maybe some folks who might still be skeptical or a little undecided as to what this might be. Allow me to apply some logic to this for them and help them make a mental connection.
Okay.
We look around us, and well, in the first place, this is either geology or biology. It's either something that biology organized or it's a geological structure. And as we look around, one of the things that we can safely say is that neither biology nor geology forms itself into meaningless patterns.
Right.
You know, it forms itself into functional patterns. You know, every time DNA gets hold of biology and organizes it, it organizes it into a functional pattern that will support life.
Yes, right.
Life.
Absolutely.
And whenever the geology around us is formed, it is formed in such a way, you know, it's formed by the natural events that take place around it into a meaningful form. You know, and, you know, that's one thing that both processes have in common. But then when we apply that to what we can observe on this planet and on the photographic record from Mars and the Moon and wherever else we have photographs that they allow us to see, when have we ever seen geology form itself into the shape of spinal vertebrae with pronounced epicondyles?
Now, wait a minute. What's an epicondyle?
Oh, that's those things sticking out of the vertebrae. That's what you call those. You know, in anatomy, those are the epicondyles of the vertebra.
And what do they do?
Well, they are specifically designed to support mass. You know, the more pronounced the epicondyle, the more mass that particular structure is going to have to support. In other words, whatever had this spine was a large creature, a large being. You know, I don't know if it stood on two legs or if it stood on four. I would say if it stood on four, it might have had ridges on its back because of the epicondyles. If those faced the rear, on the other hand, if the vertebra is oriented the other way, then it's just supported a large mass of a large being.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's, I don't see how you can draw another conclusion when you know the facts.
So is there any possibility that this is, say, the skeleton remains of a very large serpent? Or would this have been something that had legs?
It's hard to say just by looking at that. It would have been segmented in some way, though. I find that portion of the middle structure there, the one that you zoomed in on for John, that looks like something that a couple of bony structures would have connected into. You know, maybe they're on the other side, those things on the right, those two holes, and then there's a groove between them.
Yeah.
That would be something for another articulating and movable bone segment to attach to. You know, so the thing was very mobile, and, you know, whether it stood on 2 feet or 4 feet, you know, it was very mobile, and maybe it was winged. You know, maybe somewhere around there, this thing might have been something that flew. You know, biology will shape itself into whatever is meaningful to its purpose and surroundings. You know, that's what we do, and you know, so there's no telling, but what these spines, they aren't what we would think of as bone, perhaps. You know, our bones, living in this environment, in these surroundings, are mainly calcium. Well, what if these have taken hold of the minerals that it needs in the mother or however it was formed, and its bony structure is something more like the semi-precious stone jade or some other stone? You know, maybe this is mineralized more densely than what we have for a bone. You know, it just staggers the imagination what kind of a being this could have been. And I'll tell you something, I'll tell you how we could find out. Locked in those bones is the DNA memory mm-hmm. of what that was. Locked in those bones. And if NASA sees it, NASA can retrieve it. And if they really wanted to find out, they would drill into that thing and take a specimen and run a DNA test, and they could find out what that was.
Do you think that they have the capability of running a DNA test on board the Curiosity?
I would not be surprised. And one place I know they can do it is in the space station. They can for sure do it up there.
Okay, well, you know, I have to ask you this question, but is there anything about this that looks to you to be geological?
No, Kevin, there's just too much contrast, because you look at what's obvious geology around it, mm-hmm. and then you look at that, I mean, the contrast is right there in your face. You know, and if a person were to look at that and just think that is just part of the geology, then that person is either uninformed or unwilling or unable to apply thought to the things they see, to apply logic. You know,
okay.
There's no way.
All right, so now let me ask... do you think that we're looking at a fossil, or do you think this is more recent?
Well, that's really hard to tell, in my opinion, Kevin, because if this were an extremely hardened skeleton to begin with, you know, how would it undergo what we call fossilization? I don't know. So it could be fresh, it could be old. It's really hard to tell. You know, a person would have to do an analysis of its chemical makeup. You know, it's hard to tell. I don't think it's fossilized. personally, I think it's fairly fresh. And I'll tell you something. You know, I'll reinforce what John said, and you agreed with about the water in the system there. You and I both remember, Kevin, when pictures of Mars always showed large polar ice caps, a big North Pole and a big South Pole. And we used to watch those things through telescopes. In the Martian winters, they would expand. And in the Martian summers, they would retreat. We used to see that, Kevin. Mm-hmm. That's a bunch of water. Where did it go? I'm thinking there are aquifers, amazing aquifers, huge oceanic aquifers under the surface of Mars, because that ice had to go somewhere, and I don't think it just disappeared into the atmosphere, or lack thereof. I think that water, which is heavy, soaked down and is locked up in there, and there's no telling what kind of life forms might be down there with it.
And what you've just shared with us is one of the reasons behind my first getting curious about the true conditions on Mars. And that is, you know, the official story is that Mars undergoes sublimation, meaning that, and this is the official story, that when ice melts on Mars, the atmosphere is so thin that the ice never makes it to liquid form as it melts. It goes straight from ice to vapor and then dissipates. Well, here's the problem. How do those ice caps grow then? How does that come back? You know, it's got to come back in order for those ice caps to grow again.
Well, I'd like to offer this sublimation works both ways. You know, it's kind of the way frost is developed here. It starts out as vapor, and under the right conditions, you step outside and your yard is covered with frost. You know, I mean, frost works both ways. Because the vapor that was in that ice, even though it went into a gaseous state, guess what? It's still there. It's there. And
yeah,
it's waiting
the problem,
to be recondensed. You know, resublimated.
Here's the problem.
You know, it doesn't go away. It gets scattered, but the molecules are still there.
Here's the problem. The volume of water that was dissipating and the volume of water that was reforming as ice would be way more than you could get without an absolute blinding blizzard. And they were growing whether they had blizzards or not.
And that tells us, Kevin, that there was liquid water. It wasn't
sure.
Just ice caps, but there was liquid water on Mars, and there still is.
And it tells you the atmosphere is a heck of a lot thicker than what they tell us. And there's more oxygen in that atmosphere than they tell us, because water is H2O. And so you have to have an atmosphere dense enough for the H and the O's to get together to form any kind of water. So if they say it's water ice, well, okay, let's take those ice caps. It's water ice, and then it dissipates, and the ice cap shrinks. And then it comes back, and it grows back again. That means the H's and the O's are getting together, and they're getting together in large quantities. So that atmosphere has to be denser than they're telling us. And there has to be much more oxygen than what they tell us. You know, every time they burn dirt on Mars, they get oxygen. They get a huge spike of oxygen.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
That the pressure has been such that it's driven the oxygen even into the mineral content, even into the soil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's some pressure.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of oxygen.
It's a lot of oxygen. According to Harold Klein, what we found there, and I quote, what we found there was something like 15 times more oxygen in that atmosphere than we can account for from all known sources. That's Dr. Harold Klein, chief biologist of the Viking lander. So things there are quite different than what we've been told.
As are things here.
Oh, yeah. Really. Yeah. Now, see, that's a good point. People should consider that point as well. When you start thinking, well, yeah, that's not what I've always heard about Mars, just think of how many things you've learned about your country, regardless of what country you're in. Regardless. How many things have you learned about your country that are quite different from what you've always been told? You know, they're not used to telling us the straight truth.
And you know, Kevin, what you said earlier about how when we get new pieces of information, we have to adjust our model or mm-hmm. our way of thinking about things
yeah.
or whatever, our laws.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll tell you something. This current...
All right, you're going to have to hang on because we have a break taking over right now. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. And we're BYOT on the telephone with me, Steve from Georgia. Steve, I had to cut you off because the break took over. You were about to say something, but you weren't about to wax political, were you?
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
All right.
The point I was going to make is that the current crop of intellectuals out there in quackademia and in other realms of science are engaged in a lot of denial rather than doing what you suggested is the true scientific process, Kevin, and that is to you change your laws or you change your theories or structure according to the new data as it comes in. You know, you weigh it, and you make changes when you learn new things.
Mm-hmm.
However, what's happening today is, as new information comes in, if it does not somehow reinforce the current paradigm, their model of the way things should be, if it doesn't reinforce that, they label it as an anomaly and they throw it out. And that is intellectual cowardice.
I mean, you know,
and they are teaching their classrooms full of students, and they are teaching the people in their seminars intellectual cowardice.
One of the things that you've heard me really kind of rail against is just because you haven't seen it before doesn't mean it's not real. You've heard me say that. Now, let's take the world of atomic science and subatomic science. They can tell us a lot of things about different particles and, you know, different atoms and how they're made up and how they react and what happens if you do this and happens if you know, all of that is dependent upon their instruments. You can't see an atom. So it's all dependent upon instruments that are designed to sense what's going on at the atomic and subatomic level, but within certain narrow parameters. So let's say that there is a whole different kind of a particle out there called, we'll just name it. It's a quatzit, okay? So there's a quatzit out there, and it's not rare. It's all over the place, but it doesn't fit the parameters of the machinery. So it's never been sensed. And it may be, the quatzit may be the key to something like time travel, or the key to something like teleportation. The quatzit may be what makes it work, but we don't even know it exists because it's outside the parameters of the machines we designed, and therefore we don't even know about it. But that doesn't mean it isn't real. If, of course, a quatzit is not real. I just made it up. But you understand the concept. The concept is our machinery can only sense what we've designed it to sense.
That is an excellent point, Kevin. That's a very good point, you know. And you know, these, that's why it just drives me crazy, the conclusions that mainstream science draws and the positions they take, you know, are knowingly so limited. You know, it drives me nuts, Kevin. It's real refreshing to have a forum like your show here, you know, where we can actually, you know, see these things and apply thought and reach conclusions, you know, and engage in honest intellectual activity for a change. And it's not just labeled, you're crazy, you know, this is just an anomaly, or this is this or that, you know, and dismiss it with some easy label. You know, I am so grateful for your show and this forum.
Well, thank you. Thank you. But, you know, it doesn't bother me that science is limited, and it really is. It's a very narrow, very limited field because of what I just described. No matter what we're talking about, anything, any kind of science we're talking about, it's limited by the parameters of the machines that we have designed to sense things. And as those capabilities expand, our knowledge of science expands. It doesn't bother me that it's limited. It bothers me when a scientist presents it as though it's not limited, as though they know this and they know that. No, they don't. I mean, Newton knew, and all the scientists knew, until Einstein came along. And he proved they didn't know. You know, so it doesn't bother me for it to be limited. I think that's natural. That's normal, because you can only sense what you've built to sense. What bothers me is when the minds that are behind that act as though it's not limited, and they're all knowing. They're not all knowing.
Truer words never spoken, Kevin. That is so correct. And, you know, and it's time for people to stop outsourcing their ability to think to other people.
Yeah, that's a good term. They outsource their ability to think. They outsource it to other people and let them think for them. You know, whenever I hear a scientist speak, and listen, there's a scientist, what is his name? Neil deGrasse Tyson. You know who I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. I'm aware of who he is.
A lot of people don't like him. A lot of people in our genre don't like him. I like him. I love to listen to him. I disagree with a lot that he says, but I like to listen to him. And one of the reasons I like to listen to him is because, although he has a very establishment view of science, he also has on top of that a very open mind saying, but, you know, there's the possibility that this or that or the other thing could change this. And, you know, and we'd get totally different results. But I think, you know, you look at the results. I think the way to work is you start at what is, and work backwards to how did it happen.
Yeah, and certainly the powers that be are no strangers to back engineering.
Well, you know, if you're talking about a murder, then if you deal with the murder and work backwards to find out what happened, they call that investigation. If you start putting things together and move forward towards a murder, they call that conspiracy to commit murder. And so do you follow that line of reasoning?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So what's happening with a lot of science is conspiracy to murder science instead of investigation. Now, there's a lot of good science, though. There's a lot of good investigation that goes on. But a whole lot of what's going on out there is conspiracy to murder science.
That's very well said, Kevin, and that's why people have got to apply their own thoughts so that they can distinguish between that that dead science or that conspiracy to murder science by halting thought on the one hand, and then the true investigative science that's actually honestly trying to find things out and still has a inkling of curiosity about it, you know, to be able to tell the difference, because a lot of folks can't tell the difference. They don't know.
Yeah.
But they got to think.
They got to think. You got to think. All right. I'm going to have to run, but thanks for the call.
Oh, absolutely, Kevin. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. All right, and what about you? 623-444-5889 is BYOT. We'll talk about anything that's on your mind within the world of the strange and the unexplained. And if what's on your mind happens to be these pictures that we've discussed here tonight, the one that's on my website showing what appears to be the skeletal remains of some large animal on Mars. If that's what's on your mind, we'll talk about that. If you have something else on your mind within the world of the strange and unexplained, do not be shy. Dial that number, 623-444-5889, and we will be more than happy to talk about what's on your mind, all right? Also, do not be shy about using the flash message feature on the website if you're outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada. You can call us, and I'd love to talk with you. We do get calls from around the world from time to time. We've had calls, my goodness, Germany, Norway, the Netherlands, Taiwan. I think we had a call from Vietnam one night. That was a long, long time ago. We've had calls from Australia, from the UK, you name it, from Chile. We've had calls from Chile. But wherever you are, you're important. We'd love to hear from you. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, this is John from Phoenix again.
Hello, John.
Hey, I was looking at the scene from yesterday from Mars, and I was gone for part of the show, and somebody may have brought this up, and if they did, I apologize for bringing it up again, but being from Arizona, I see a lot of areas where water flows very vigorously for a few days, slash weeks, months of the year, and then look very much like what you showed on the picture yesterday for the rest of the year.
Do you know...
Dry washes.
Do you know where North Country Club is?
Oh, yeah.
Out there in the Phoenix area in Mesa. All right. Do you know where it heads north and goes into the reservation?
Oh, yes.
Well, just as you go under the freeway, it takes a dip, and it's only a dip of maybe 2 or 3 feet. It's not sudden either, but it takes a dip of 2 or 3 feet, and you go across a flat land, and then it takes a rise and comes out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing fills up with water, even if you just get, I'm exaggerating now, but if you just get a lot of clouds in the sky, that thing fills up with water. It flash floods in there. But this is, the reason I know you know about this, I'm describing it for the rest of our listeners. Folks, just a little bit of rain, not much, just a little bit of rain, and that thing will be a flash flood. And
sure.
And they have to close the road down. But sometimes...
They put the dams in years ago. Mm-hmm. The Salt River that ran right down through the middle of Phoenix had ferries that went across it at Mill Avenue in Tempe.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good half mile across. You know, a lot of water came down through there.
But it goes away real fast.
Well, and if there's that much water in the sand, and as I was looking at that, knowing what I know about rivers, it makes me wonder if the rovers were able to dig deeper than it shows on the news broadcast. I wonder how deep they would have to go before they found underground streams flowing in the same riverbeds, just like they have here in Arizona. You know, the water flows underground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's capable of digging very deep.
I don't think it is either, but I, you know, from what I know of Arizona and looking at these areas and on Mars,
it looks a lot the same, doesn't it?
Where I would dig for, you know, underground water is right where the bends are. And
all right, hang on. We have to take a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are now on Final Approach. On the telephone with me, John from Arizona. John, you were talking about how you looked at this, these pictures from Mars, not just tonight, but other pictures we've had before. And it reminds you of Arizona. And I said, yeah, you know, when I lived out there, I used to say, you know, it's Mars with cactus on it. Arizona looks like, the Phoenix area looks like Mars with cactus.
Very much.
Yeah.
The other point I was making is the geological formations that allow rivers to flow on the surface aren't just surface. The rock formations and things that the water runs up against and builds up against, like a barrier, are underground. And so knowing Mars's condition, it would be very simple for it to flow even just a few feet underwater or underground because of the high oxygen or high water content in the rocks that they found on the surface.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so let me ask you about this picture that I've been talking about tonight that I said looks like the skeletal remains of an animal. What do you think? Is that geology or is that skeletal remains?
Boy, it looks, you know, it's the strangest geology I've ever seen.
So you think it's geology?
I've seen veins of gold form along crevices like that. But I have not seen, you know, this looks more like sandstone.
So you think it's geology?
Right. It looks more biology to me.
Biology. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
If I ran across something like that, I'd be digging, you know, digging at both ends to find a head or a tail.
I'd be looking around to make sure its brother wasn't around somewhere.
Yeah, and along your lines of thinking that it was not fossilized and it was more recent, there are any number of creatures that come out of the sand in Saudi Arabia and other things to demolish animals that die there and leave them skeletal remains shortly, you know, within weeks or less.
Yeah. So this thing then could be 2 weeks old.
Yeah, it could be 2 weeks, it could be a month, it could, you know, very recent. And looking over the shoulder for Big Brother would be a real concern.
Well, right here at the end of the show, I'm going to put a different picture up. Are you where you can see what's on the screen?
All I have access to is the your website and
okay.
That photo.
All right. So what we're looking at is a whole new picture. It's in the same area, taken on the same day by the same rover, Curiosity. And we can see something laying out on a big slab of rock, and it's yellow. And when I strip the red away from it, we can see better. I don't know what that is, but if that's alive, it's big, and I don't want to meet it.
Well, even what we call the vegasauruses from the movies were big enough that if they bumped into you or stepped on you, you were in a world of hurt. I mean,
yeah,
elephants,
yeah,
for instance, or vegasauruses, and they, you know, they can do a lot of damage if they just inadvertently bump into you with a trunk or something else.
Sure they can. Well, they don't have to be carnivores in order to kill you.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna have to run, but thank you for the call.
Okay.
All right.
You bet.
Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. We still have time for another call, but you'll have to do it like right now. because we are rapidly running towards the end of the show. You know, what's the point of all this? Well, there's a lot of points. One is, Mars is not like what we've been told. That's whether this is a skeleton or something else, the fact that Mars is not like what we've been told is rather provable from NASA's own data. And what difference does that make? Well, the difference it makes is that since Mars is not like what we've been told, and since they're not just tonight's pictures, but other pictures we've looked at, since there seems to be a great deal of evidence of there having been complex life on Mars, that means our neighborhood is not like the neighborhood we thought it was. It means we're living in a neighborhood that is quite probably populated. Not just possibly, but probably. And the reason I say that, I've said so many times, and I'll say it again. The reason I say that is because life is going to happen in the context where it occurs. That means while you might not be able to live, say, for instance, on Venus, because of the temperature and the surface pressure, because you can't doesn't mean that life could not have developed there quite capable of doing it. You can't live at the bottom of the ocean. Even if you had gills, you can't live at the bottom of the ocean because of the pressure and the temperatures. But there are life forms who thrive there in the darkness, immense pressure, and some of them in immense cold intense cold temperature, and some of them at these thermal vents at intense high temperature. You can't live there. That doesn't mean something can't, and it's complex life. And so, you know, I think that the evidence is that our neighborhood is quite probably populated. Intelligent life? Maybe. I would say probably. But intellectually, to be intellectually honest about it, I have to say maybe. And But populated with complex life, I think it's probably all over our solar system. I really do. And I think it's a travesty that it's being hidden from us. What we're looking at here tonight, what we've talked about here tonight, is something NASA should have addressed. It's something NASA should have talked about. It's something that NASA should have talked about without telling us it's Chinese wedding candles. Just, you know, shed that stuff and, you know, come out with it and tell us the truth. I think that is something that may be coming, but it is something that is some distance down the road, I would guess. And I think that's unfortunate. But then that's why the Kevin Smith Show exists. We talk about these things. We take a look at them. We discuss them. And as I said here, do I have any concern for what is the truth? Absolutely. So much that I am honest enough to admit I'm not the only one who can think. I do think about these things, and I do talk about the things that I think. But then I open the phone lines for you because I know you can think too. That yes, there are mushrooms. There are billions of mushrooms on this planet. But you know what? Most of the people in this audience are not mushrooms. I doubt there's even a handful of mushrooms in this audience. This audience thinks. And so that's why we do this. I want you to continue to help us do this. If you like this show, help us out. We're 100% listener supported.